The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn
Beck. Can a coin be racist? Let me rephrase that. Of course a coin can be racist. We all know that. Let me be more specific. Can the game Heads or Tails be racist? Apparently so. Two athletes nominated by the United States Olympic team to be the flag bearer at the opening ceremony. Shawnee Davis, an African-American male, five-time Olympian, and Erin Hamlin, a white female, four-time Olympian, were tied for the position. Both received the exact same number of votes from the representatives. So how do you handle a tie like this in the most pragmatic and objective way possible? Heads or tails. It's how we start games, football games. It's how it's how we make decisions where it's a tie. You know, draw a straw, flip a coin. Well, Erin Hamlin won, and Shawnee Davis played the race card. He tweeted, "Team USA dishonorably tossed a coin to decide its 2018 flag bearer. No problem. I can wait until 2022. Hashtag Black History Month 2018. Excuse me? I mean, how can you possibly think a coin toss was racially motivated? What's the answer here? Should the team given Davis the position just because he's black? No, of course not. They shouldn't give it to Erin just because she's white and a female. No. Should we start banning coin tosses? Do we have to declare that the game Heads and Tails is now somehow or another racist and biased if the black person doesn't win? This is ridiculous. This is the most non-biased and objective way you pick something. Davis is obviously still upset about not being the flag bearer because he skipped the opening ceremony this morning. Well, isn't that the spirit of an American Olympian? I'm a sore loser. I'm going to take my toys and go home. Well, quite frankly, anybody who behaves that way, white, black, yellow, polka dot, plaid, it doesn't matter. I'm glad you don't represent us at the Olympics today. Bad attitudes are something even four shiny Olympic medals just can't hide.
It's Friday, February 9th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I have waited all week to do the monologue that I am not a good enough man to do. Tomorrow, I am flying out to attend one of the greatest men I've ever known. I'm going to attend his funeral. His name is John Huntsman Sr. He's the guy who was responsible for the first, you know, KTEL Records presents the best of. He's the first guy to put a compilation album together. And he did it because he needed to raise money to make a mold so he could make styrofoam boxes, because nobody had ever thought of, gee, I wonder if it would be better to have styrofoam and put your Big Mac in a styrofoam. He needed to make the molds, but he didn't have the money. So he came up with another idea. Why don't I do a compilation album of everybody's favorite songs? I first walked into his office. Here's this industrialist with gold records on his wall. And I'm like, John, what the hell is that? That was creative thinking. John Huntsman was by my side quietly during some of the most difficult days of my life. He taught me how to fly fish. He taught me how to be a better man. He taught me that you can shoot straight. You can tell the truth. You can do business with a handshake, and you still can succeed. He's a guy who worked in Washington, worked for Nixon, one of the only guys they'd ever questioned in the Nixon administration because everyone knew John Huntsman wouldn't be a part of any of this. A guy who stood up at that time and said, "Excuse me, I want no part of this." He taught me what a game Washington really is. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to give blessings to others. One day late at night, we were both vacationing, and I was about three houses down from his. And he was over at the house, and he was probably 70-something at the time. And it was dark, and I said, "John, let me walk you home." So we walked home, and we talked, and we had such a great conversation that when we got to his door, he said, "Let's walk back to your house." So we walked back to my house and then back to his. And in one of those trips, he just stopped and looked up at the star, and he said, "Can you read the stars?" I said, no. And he started to point out all the constellations and name all the stars. He was a navigator in World War II. And he said, "Every man needs to be able to read the stars. Every man needs to know the right direction and how to find the right direction." He told me as I was just beginning the success of my career, he asked me, "Glenn, how much is enough?" Here's a guy who had been on the richest men in the world list for decades. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You have to set a number, you have to set a goal, and then live by that." He said, "How much is enough? Decide, or it will never be enough." He taught me what it was like to love and lose a daughter with grace and compassion and dignity. He taught me how to be a father by watching him with his children. How to deal with even the most challenging things where a dad and mom don't have an answer by watching him love his son, Marky. I learned how to serve in a church calling with everything you have. One day we were out fly fishing, and I asked him for a blessing. I wasn't feeling well, and I said, "John, do you mind giving me a blessing?" And he said, "Sure. Could you excuse me for just a second?" I said, "Sure." He went inside to the house, and he changed into a suit and put on a tie and a white shirt. And I said, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" And he said, "I just feel as though if I'm going to try to speak the words of the Lord, I just feel I should be dressed appropriately." He gave me a 5-minute blessing, walked back in, and changed back into his fly fishing clothes. I learned how to be gracious, even when you don't want to be, from him. And how to forgive those people that you really don't want to forgive. He taught me through his own marriage of how to marry way over your head. I'm not sure I brought anything to the table for him. And I'm not foolish enough to think that he felt the same way about me. But he was there at the worst time with my father, who we were estranged at the end. We didn't even have a funeral for my dad. And I looked at John, as a father figure, I think much to his chagrin. I've met a lot of great people in my life. I've met prime ministers, and I have met kings and presidents. But there is one man who impacted my life for the better, like no one else. Heads and shoulders. I regret not saying that to him. The first time I met him was at his cancer center, the Huntsman Cancer Center in Salt Lake City. A friend said, "You have to have lunch with a friend of mine." He said, "Do you know John Huntsman Sr.?" And I said, "No, I know he's a billionaire." And I wondered what it would be like to have lunch with a billionaire. And I quickly found out as I pulled my car up to the Huntsman Cancer Institute, and he said, "Come on in." And we went into his cafeteria, a hospital cafeteria, and we had lunch. And we talked about how to be charitable, how to give. In 2008, after the crash, he actually put his house and his plane and his car as collateral, not for his company, as collateral for the charitable obligations that he had made. He asked me if I would help them cure cancer. He was convinced that it's just around the corner, and he has convinced me. I remember standing in the hospital at an elevator door, and I said, "John, I'll make you a deal. I will help you if you teach me how to be a charitable man." He shook my hand and said, "That's a deal I'll make. The first lesson is you can't just care about cancer. You have to care about the entire human condition." It's why he's built homeless shelters and battered women's shelters. His charitable giving is beyond imagination. John Huntsman Sr. kept his promise to me. And tomorrow, I'm going to his funeral and his burial and let him know that my commitment back to him to honor that agreement is being renewed.
and I have quite a few years ahead of me to care about the entire human condition. As he would say, goodbye, my dear and sweet, sweet friend.
Glenn Beck.
Thank you for putting up with me. I appreciate it. I have three copies. These are copies that John Huntsman gave to me one of the last times I saw him, of his book, Barefoot to Billionaire. And they are all signed by John. And I would ask if, you know, only if you're an entrepreneur, you really truly believe in the American dream, and you will read the book, not just keep it on the shelf, but you really will read the book. I'll ask my producers to take some calls, and they can give out three books. I don't want to make it a contest, but you know, they can decide who gets the books at 888-727-BECK. Barefoot to Billionaire. The incredible story of a guy who grew up in a home literally with cardboard walls on an Indian reservation because his father was a teacher or a doctor, I think a teacher, on an Indian reservation. And they grew up dirt poor, that really one room, and they put cardboard up to wall off rooms. He didn't have shoes. And he lived his life as one of the greatest industrialists of our age, and truly one of the unsung philanthropists, one of the greatest philanthropists that have lived in the last 50 years. And nobody really knows. I have stories that I will write down that I know of this man. But it's not my place to tell, but I will write them down, and someday, hopefully they will be published after my death, on just the stories that I know about him that nobody else knows, about just his kindness and graciousness and his commitment to doing the right thing in charity.
We live in such a world where people who have a lot, who've, you know, earned a lot of money, are vilified. And he really disproves that theory.
Completely. All right, back with some things that we need to talk about in news and some laughs when we come back.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, hello to my good friend, Mr. Pat Gray. Pat, it is, of course, Stu's birthday today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Happy birthday,
yeah.
Stu.
Yeah, did you have bring the... what did you bring? The cake?
It's on its way. It's in the
yeah.
mail.
Yeah. Doc gave him a Cake Boss cake and tried to pass this off as a birthday cake, but you tell me this isn't a secondhand cake. The writing on it didn't say happy birthday. Certainly not happy birthday, Stu. It said, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a you're welcome okay. cake.
It's and not when a genre of cakes, by
no.
the way. I don't know.
And when I pointed this out, it wasn't like he had thought this out. Right. Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, well, you know, that's because I knew he was going to say thank you. No, he was making that up. They just got a cake. Get us anything. I don't care what it is. This is a secondhand cake that somebody didn't pick up.
It is more than Pat did, though.
No, I got you a little container full of paper clips.
Those were sitting in front of him just a minute ago.
I put the paper clips in there every day.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay.
It's not printed on there, but
yeah,
it's implied.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're
I welcome. Believe you
that
are
means
the.
Happy birthday to you tomorrow.
Well,
right? So
I believe that you are the owner of the pants.
And yes,
the
am.
Shirt. Yeah. And the shirt.
The shirt.
Oh, my gosh. Do not. I added a shirt like 4 years ago.
The Can you explain shirt. What you're talking about?
So back in 91, Pat?
Ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to a store and I bought Pat the ugliest.
Dolce & Gabbana pants?
Yeah. No, I think they were Ralph Lauren.
Were they?
Yeah, I think so. But they could be Dolce & Gabbana. They are the ugliest pants you've ever seen in your life.
Absolutely
they're
bizarre.
Pink. No, they're salmon paisley, okay? Mm-hmm. And I got him these pants, and he's never worn them. And so the next year, he gave them back to me for my present.
As your birthday present.
It's called regifting.
Right.
And it's tried and true tradition.
And we've been doing this since 1991, okay? We've given the same pair of pants to each other since 1991. Now, a few years ago, I added a luxurious shirt.
Not necessarily matching, but luxurious.
Oh.
Right?
Well, it depends. Right. I mean, if you're going to go by traditional fashion rules while wearing salmon-colored paisley pants.
You really can't.
You can't.
So
yeah. I expect those tomorrow.
So, are you still doing this? Is this still?
Of course, we're still doing it.
Yeah, of course we are. We do it every year.
Of course, we're still doing it. It's tradition.
Yeah, we just get a box. Mm-hmm. We wrap it, or somebody wraps it for us, and we're like,
"Here,
happy birthday." I'm not even going to open it this year. I'm going to give it to him in the same wrapping paper next year.
That's smart. That's efficiency.
Yeah, that's right. We need to put those on display someplace because people will be jealous.
Yeah, they will.
You've never worn them.
What? What? How? I mean, I think that's a stretch.
Is he around?
To say never. Never is a long time.
It is.
Is right? it a stretch or is it untrue?
It's
why
a
is
stretch.
It a, why are you saying it's a stretch?
It's just because I don't want to call him a liar.
But it's your...
Because we're good friends.
Right.
We spend a lot of time picking out the perfect gift for each other every year. All right. Anyway, what's on your mind today, Pat?
Nancy Pelosi. And
wow. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, I know. It hurts. But this was such an interesting part of the speech that not very many people have Keith, my producer, brings
now, see,
in your birthday present.
Now, here's the shirt.
There's the shirt.
And this may be
Happy
retro.
Birthday,
I don't know, but here's the, well, you didn't even wrap it. So here's this beautiful shirt, okay? And it has a little bit of salmon color in it.
It does.
And
okay.
a little purple.
Actually, they do kind of match.
And here.
And there's the beautiful pants.
And they are Ralph Lauren. Still with the tag. Still with the tag.
I
right
cannot
here.
Believe those are
Ralph
Lauren.
Oh, and they're 38s. They'd fit you, Pat.
Not anymore. Thank you.
Really?
Not anymore.
That is beautiful. That's, thank you, Pat. That is
welcome.
So meaningful.
You're welcome.
That
thank
is
you.
A lot of paisley going on there. That's
I saw these in a store.
Ugliest of all
in
time.
Like 1990 or 1991. And I could not believe that they were actually for sale.
Yeah.
Right. From Ralph Lauren.
From Ralph Lauren.
It looks like the entire Ralph Lauren like factory. They had a big
vomit
explosion
of paisley that spilled onto that one pair of pants.
You know what it is? It's like they had a pair of white pants, and then people were so sick to their stomach from eating avocados, they took Pepto-Bismol, it didn't work, and they blew chunks all over white pants.
That is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is just good looking.
That's a nice shirt.
That's just tasteful there.
I think this is intro,
nothing but
so this
tasteful.
Is a beautiful, sir, that's a beautiful shirt.
Sort of I want to see it on you on Monday. On Monday.
You know what? I'm going to be invisible on Monday.
You're going to be invisible on Monday?
That's weird, isn't it?
That is
and
weird.
And especially for the day that we premiere a new show with
so
us.
So I will not see you when I come in here, when we're promoting the
when
new
I'm
TV
wearing
show.
These clothes.
That's the only time during the day you'll be
and
invisible.
Damn it, this place. They will not let me wear what I want to wear on TV.
You kind of own the place. So
well,
that's
what
hard
that's
to
what they want you to believe.
Okay,
that's what they want you to believe. All anyway, right. Nancy Pelosi.
Anyway, Nancy Pelosi talking about her grandson, and this is I think she describes it beautiful. Here's what she said.
I'm reminded of my own grandson. He's Irish, English, whatever, and Italian.
Whatever.
It's the mix. But he looks more like the other side of the family, shall we say. And when he had his fifth birthday, he had a very close friend whose name is Antonio, who's from Guatemala. And he has beautiful tan skin, beautiful brown eyes, and the rest. And
not like
this was such a proud day for me because when
my
grandson blew out the candles on his cake, they said, "Did you make a wish?" And he said, "Yes, I made a wish." He said, "Well, what is your wish?" He said, "I wish I had brown skin and brown eyes like Antonio."
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So beautiful.
So beautiful.
So beautiful.
The beauty is in the mix.
That's horrible.
That he's ashamed of his race.
That's horrible.
So beautiful.
The beauty is in the mix.
Imagine.
If this was a black person.
If anyone would say, and you know what? My black son, he had green eyes and red hair. He had a friend who had green eyes and red hair and very Irish, you know, that China doll skin. Oh, my gosh. And it was the proudest day of my life when he said, "Well, what I wished for, Dad, was to have white China doll skin, green eyes, and red hair." You would describe that as a proud day?
Oh, the beauty's in the whiteness, Glenn. That's what she
would
have said.
Gosh.
And the thing is, we've heard that story, but not described as beautiful.
Right. It's a terrible,
tragic story. It's terribly racist.
It's terrible, and it's horrible.
And it's not even just racist.
You'd be ashamed of your own race.
Yes, it's not only racist. You want to talk about body shaming.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's a woman body shaming her grandson because I know you want to look like your Guatemalan friend. Oh my gosh.
It's despicable.
Yeah. It is.
I mean, look, any 5 or 6 year old, they could say there's nothing crazy about a kid saying that. It's the fact that you're praising it.
Yes. Yeah.
And in public.
I mean, look, if you want to say that, look, if you're 5 years old,
say all sorts of crazy stuff when you're 5 years old.
But it's not like, "No, honey, you are beautiful just as you are."
Yeah,
that's not the story. It's, we all wish we were Hispanic.
I know. Cause
sorry, you're ugly.
Would it not be racist if she were to say to the kid, "No, you don't want that. You're beautiful the way you are," right? Like, she was encouraging him to be white.
Yeah.
I'm saying in our current, I'm not saying I believe this.
I'm saying in our current climate,
yes. If you were to say it's okay, it's great that you're white and you should continue to be white.
That's racist.
Yes.
Because
I think so.
You should be encouraging him to do the opposite.
You should be ashamed of being white.
We have become so worshipful of diversity and so white loathing that this is held up to us as a really good story. As something beautiful and desirable.
And it's not leading the news anywhere.
Right.
In fact, it's probably not on the news anywhere.
I'm guessing the mainstream media hasn't even...
Yeah.
They haven't even mentioned
it. They don't care. They that's a beautiful thing. No, it's not.
No, it isn't.
That's body shaming.
Right.
That's body shaming. At best, body shaming.
Yeah, you're teaching your grandson that, that's beautiful, that you don't like your own skin. I can't imagine in anybody.
Can you imagine our own skin, right?
Right.
That's what we're always told. Every time we see a Dove commercial, we're supposed to be like, "Oh, that's beautiful. They're comfortable in their own skin."
Is that the one with the fat ladies that are dancing?
Wow, that word.
No, I mean, I'm seriously.
Wow, that
no,
word.
I'm serious.
No, it's not the one we talked about. That one.
If that is beautiful, I then want you to claim that I am beautiful too. And I'm going to strip down to my underpants.
No.
And I'm going to dance on screen. And I demand that every single person says, "That's beautiful."
Wow, that going
it's
back
not. Was... It might be your taste. It might not be your taste. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But that is not what society has decided is the ultimate form of a body. I don't have the ultimate form of the body. I don't like the fact that my children might be body shamed by somebody maybe like Nancy Pelosi and they're uncomfortable in their skin. But that does not require me to make the pronouncement that is beautiful. I have no problem with the commercial. I have no problem with seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that we are being
forced.
Yes, we are.
To say that Caitlyn Jenner is the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen.
Yes.
She's not. She's not. She's a woman who kind of looks a lot like a dude.
Not like an Olympian almost.
Right. Know? Like an Olympian.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. It's sexual preference. Your preference must be that you like homosexuality now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, isn't that what we're being forced into? We can't like heterosexual activity, but you have to like homosexual
Well,
activity.
You should at least try
it's
homosexual.
Expected.
You should at least try. You're bigoted right. If you don't at least try homosexuality. I didn't think it was a choice. I thought you were born that way.
Right.
Yeah, because sexual preference is sort of dead now.
It
right?
is kind of dead.
You're not allowed to have a preference.
You're supposed to say, oh, that's beautiful.
You don't
when you see it on the screen.
Yeah, you can't say, I prefer X over Y, because that means you're making a decision or something that indicates one is better. And you can't. You can't indicate that one is better.
It's right. It is liberal fascism. And that's the problem. I don't think that the average person who is fat like me, or homosexual, or straight, or bi, or transgendered, I don't think the average person wants anything other than to be just treated like a normal human being. Just, can you not treat me like I'm a pariah? Okay? That's what the average person wants. I just want to be a part of society. This is who I am, and I'm happy there. They do not want to force everyone else to agree with them. It's not the way we are. We're not built that way. Just accept me for who I am. Don't hurt me. Don't destroy my life because of my choices. And I won't destroy your life. Can we all just live side by side? That's what the average person wants. But that is not who's ruling this country or our culture.
We just can't. No. We just can't be honest anymore.
Right.
You know, there's that song that goes, every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. It's like, you're singing a song with no knowledge of who's hearing it. How do you know that's accurate? You're saying, if that's something you can say, then the words don't mean anything because you're saying it to everyone. So if everyone is perfect, then perfect has no meaning.
A wheel is a wheel only because we call it a wheel. I read this philosopher, Saul Kripke, years ago.
Oh, yeah. Stu and I have been talking about that.
Shut up. And I just remember just being so crazy about how stupid all of this stuff was. But the point is, it's only something because we call it that. So you call handicap. What does that mean? That word means nothing. That means nothing. It only means what you attach it to.
Right.
So you've attached it to somebody in a wheelchair that needs a ramp or something else because they can't navigate in the same way that a fully able body can.
They are capped in the way that they are, in the amount they are handy.
Correct. Oh, okay. So if you
Good
call
explanation
it
of handicap,
we all know when I was growing up, we all know what a handicapped person or a handicapped zone meant or a handicapped ramp. By changing it to handy capable might make you feel good in a very short period of time, but eventually handy capable means exactly the same thing as handicapped.
Right. It's right, because these politically correct terms have expiration dates. I mean, if you look back, look at the NAACP. We can't even say what the NAACP stands for. But at that time, it was the okay term to use, and now it's not. And they have to figure out whether they're supposed to change the name or not.
It's unbelievable. We're living in a mad world.
Yeah. Glenn Beck.
It's been a great week, and I thank you so much. For listening. Happy birthday, and you're welcome to Stu.
And happy birthday, and you're welcome to yourself.
Yes. I'm going to... What are you doing this weekend?
It's a great question, and it's a question I get answered approximately the time I leave this office today.
Really?
Because I never know.
You get answer.
I have no idea.
On Lifetime?
Oh, it's total,
yeah.
No idea at all.
My wife was nice to me because my birthday weekend. I'm going to see Gaffigan tonight.
Oh, Jim Gaffigan. Nice.
Yeah. Have
Glenn,
a safe weekend. God bless.
Beck, Mercury.